Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Let Me Interrupt. We hope you're having a great weekend.
Thanks, Melissa. Yeah, and we're really excited because our next guest has a lot of expertise, so we're hoping to learn a lot today. We are joined today with Britta Lopnow. She is the founder and CEO of Prosper HR. She started her entrepreneurial journey to provide expert boutique human resources consulting and fractional HR services. She leads her clients' HR functions, enjoys employee experience projects, and works within the tech and startup sectors. Britta is a human capital leader, SHRM certified HR consultant, and a certified career coach who is dedicated to being a trusted partner and advisor. She brings 12 years of HR experience from working at startups and for McKinsey and Company. When she is not researching the next big HR topic, she's paddleboarding around the Casco Bay in Maine. Britta is a self-proclaimed bird nerd and is accompanied at all times by her two dogs. So welcome, Britta.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah. Welcome, Britta. As Cindy mentioned, a warm welcome to you. So kind of jumping in, I'd love to hear what kind of motivated you to take the leap and start your company, Prosper HR.
So my background is in startups and tech. So when I began my career, I was working within the startup industry. And, you know, I was working for all sorts of startups. At that time, I also considered going back to grad school. So I did that. I went to grad school while working full time. And I got my MBA in strategic leadership and organizational behavior. So it was very HR focused. And I had always known that like HR was my calling. At the same time, as soon as I graduated from grad school, I also got my SHRM certification, which is the Society for Human Resources Management. So that all happened kind of all simultaneously, and it worked out really well. So with those credentials under my belt, a recruiter friend had reached out to me while I was living in the Bay Area, and they were like, "We have this amazing opportunity to join McKinsey and Company." Which is a, you know, very, it's a well-known business consulting firm. So I decided I couldn't turn down that offer and I jumped into it full swing. I was with McKinsey doing internal HR for 4 years. I was in two different locations in San Francisco and Atlanta. And after some time, I started realizing that I needed a little something more. I was taking on roles throughout my career that I would take on the career of the new role. And then I felt a little okay, what's next? I feel like I've mastered this role so quickly. What do I do next? And I was feeling that way at McKinsey as well. And I had a lot of learning opportunities at McKinsey and a lot of exposure to the consulting world. And so I decided I wanted to leave McKinsey, but you really just don't leave a huge consulting, well-known consulting firm without doing something really cool. So I was like, you know, I work really well as an independent contributor. And also I want to be able to build something of my own. I always felt like I was going to be an entrepreneur in whatever I decided. And so I took a leap of faith. I started building a clientele on the side while I was working at McKinsey, just taking on a few clients here and there, very minimal hours. But I realized it was something I could do full time and really support my clients on the HR side. And advise them in with HR. And so I took that leap of faith. I started Prosper HR in July of 2021. And I haven't looked back. And it's been really wonderful because my clients are in tech and startups and small businesses. And so it's allowed me to pack up and move. I moved to Maine very randomly. And it's allowed me to work remotely with clients across the US. I've had international clients. So it's really allowed me to have that freedom of location and being able to select what roles I'm working within, which clients I work with. So that's kind of what inspired me to make the change.
That's lovely, Britta. There are two things that I wanted to touch on. Early in your, you know, what you've just shared, you said that you always knew that HR was what you wanted to do. Can you kind of elaborate, like, what about human resources or the human capital was so appealing to you?
Yeah, I think that what was so appealing was like the problems I was able to solve. And that relates to, like, you know, a lot of HR people say, I love people. I think that's wonderful. And that's a, you know, a good reason to obviously get into HR. But I don't think for me, that's the only, like, that's not the deciding factor. For me, it's like solving real life human problems within the workforce. And when you think about how much time we actually spend, whether you're working a 9-to-5 job or you have your own business, we spend so much of our lives in our work and, you know, really in comfort, like our whole, like my whole life is my work, but I know that's not like everybody's calling. But we spend so much time within our careers and those, our careers at times define us. And so for me, it was thinking like, if people are spending, like, this is their life, we need to make something really great. We need to be able to solve the problems that they're having in the workforce. And like, what do those look like? And so there's a lot of strategy and problem solving within HR. And I think that that's like where I became drawn to it. There's like a second part to that as well. And within HR, what I do is a lot of like policy writing, handbooks, about California compliance experts, because a lot of my HR background is like I lived in California for so long. So I know a lot of the California compliance and employment law. And so there's a part of it is like, you're almost like a lawyer, but not like actual legal counsel, but you know, a lot of laws and employment laws. And I love, it's fascinating. There's so many compliance pieces that change every year in every state. And so it's like a lot of learning that you have to continuously be doing. And so to me, I find a lot of fulfillment in like learning new employment laws and things like that.
Yeah, I think you're definitely an expert in your field. The other thing I wanted to touch on was you had stated that like when you felt like it was time to possibly do something and kind of expand upon what you were doing at McKinsey and Company, is that right?
Yeah, McKinsey and Company.
Yeah, that you like that taking that like entrepreneurial leap, like was any part of you scared to do that? Like, was there any fear involved or you just knew that that was the right thing to do?
No, it was terrifying because, you know, in getting my MBA, of course, they teach you all sorts of business things. So I had that background. But at the same time, it's like you leave a company that's well established. You don't have to like, in my role, I wasn't finding clients. I wasn't like building a business. I didn't have to like manage people. And so it was terrifying because I was like, okay, there's no plan B here. This is it. And so I do think when you have that mindset of like, there isn't a plan B, then it encourages you and motivates you to like really get things going and get things right. But I mean, there's still days where I'm like, I can't believe I did it. Like, I'm just like, wow, this is like, it's just, baffling to me, like how I've come, like looking back from point A to now where I am, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. Still scary some days because things are always changing and evolving in the business. And so, you know, and my business is still fairly new. So things are changing a lot more than they may be in the next 5 years. So it was scary. It still is some days, but I get a lot of like energy from that. You know, I think that's my motivation.
No, I just want to applaud you because even as I was reading your bio, even I was, you know, learning about you before we jumped on this call, I was like, man, to have the guts to just know what you want, or at least like be so driven and passionate about what it is that you know that your purpose, and then taking that leap, it's just really amazing. I mean, it truly is. And yes, there's, you know, things you have to figure out, like you said, like you weren't fully like, you know, experienced in every single bit of launching your own business, but like you still did it. And that, I mean, here you are like living it. And that's super amazing. I mean, you know, the fact that you were able to move to Maine and you get to be with your dogs and now you're bird watching. Like, I mean, you know, it's like amazing to think like, where were you in, you know, 2020? And would you have thought like in the next 2 years, my life's going to change?
I know. I didn't have any inclination that it would change. I thought, well, this might be it for a while. Like, am I okay in this career path? And once you decide like you want something bigger and something different, you have to just fully commit yourself to that and just jump in with both feet.
Yeah, I love that. So Britta, could you talk to Cindy and I about like some of the like the key issues that you help clients tackle, even as it's related to like trends that we're seeing currently in the workforce?
I guess I help my clients in two different ways. So I serve my clients as a fractional HR leader. So we work on like HR strategy. I help them with like setting up their HR function, building like their HR team eventually, and more of like the advising side and consulting side. And then the other part of that is I take on a lot of client projects. So those could be anything. I do focus on a lot of employee experience, and my bread and butter is creating toolkits and playbooks with supporting materials for my clients so that they can take the playbooks and really just like implement those into their business. So with some of the new trends that we're seeing, the strategy side comes into play because clients are noticing that two different things. Like the HR landscape is changing, and HR has a significant impact and influence on a company in general. And then also the other part of that is the landscape of employees, you know, like company culture is a huge hot topic again. I think it's always been, but it's like coming back to life in a different way. And like, you know, with the trends that we've seen coming out of the pandemic and in this recovery phase of the pandemic, I think there's a lot of changes in the workforce and what employees are seeing. And so that's where the employee experience side of things come in and like the talk of company culture.
I think thinking about, you know, everybody who right now has an HR department, you know, is feeling that, is seeing the shift from what we knew pre-COVID and post, I mean, I would call it post-COVID, but, you know, it's just the capabilities for remote work, you know, or the expectations, right? So what I would really love to hear is, you know, how, in a way, are you helping to change that mindset as you help, you know, startups, you know, set up the infrastructure for the HR with your own client projects? You know, how do you set the expectation, or what do you say to them to set that expectation of what the new or like this changing frontier looks like?
I think that's a really good question. And every startup obviously is so different. I think a lot of people want to focus on that, but there's so many deeper things to think about on a sense, like coming out of like in this recovery period of the pandemic, remote work is like, I think it is part of it. And there's a lot of employees who now want that. But there's so many other aspects to that. For example, it's like flexible work-life balance. That is a huge one that, you know, is always a struggle in startups because, you know, the hours are typically crazy and there's like a fast pace going on. So that's kind of a struggle at times to work with clients in that, you know, I think employees are like, hey, it's amazing working for your startup, but this isn't my entire life anymore. And I think that that's a shift that we're seeing. Even in my early in my career working for startups, I was just like, you know, it was this hustle mentality of like getting there at a at an early time, showing up, showing my face, working until like 9 o'clock, and they would have dinners and breakfasts and lunches to keep you there. And it was all kind of like fantastic in my head at that time. But now it's like, I wouldn't want to be in the workplace that much. And I wouldn't want to be, you know, because you want that freedom in a sense. And so what I'm coming across with a lot of clients is like building that work-life balance and remaining competitive. Because if a client, if one startup client is saying that they, you know, they want their employees to come in Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and another startup is has a similar, you know, has a similar compensation structure or benefits or whatever the case, but they're like, you can work fully remote, an employee is likely going to choose a fully remote setup because it gives them that freedom and flexibility. So a lot of this conversations with my startup clients is around freedom, flexibility, and like flexible PTO plans. You know, benefits, like a lot of people are thinking more of like their benefit offerings now, or do they have time in the day to go to the grocery store versus like having to go on the weekends when it's crazy busy and everyone is there. So there, I think also the bigger piece of this is like, not only the remote work, but a lot, what we're seeing a lot of is this change of like, people want more or they want room to grow and experience a lot of opportunity if they're accepting a new job. So what that means is like really thinking of like competencies, career paths, like where can someone go in their next role within your company? So there's a lot of different pieces in that. And I think it's, you know, a bigger topic than just like, here we are, we offer this remote work. It gets a bit deeper than that of like what I'm seeing and the conversations I'm having with clients.
You bring up a really good point. Something that maybe we could talk about as far as like folks' career paths not being linear. I mean, it appears your career path wasn't linear. And I think a lot of folks' career paths aren't linear. Could you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm sorry, my dogs are, they have now started playing next to me. So they're barking a little bit. So I think that I don't think that there is like a linear path for anybody at this point in time. I will talk a little bit about my background. I took on several different roles. Like to begin my HR journey, I was an executive assistant and HR coordinator. So I wasn't sure. I was like, I'm hyper organized. I like love to plan things. Maybe I want to be an EA. So I took on this hybrid role, which there's a lot of like startups, especially will combine roles. So hybrid roles are actually quite great if you want to learn, you know, what you're passionate about and like what is kind of more of your journey. And so in that role, it was great. It was a very rewarding experience because I was like, I don't want to be an executive assistant. I will leave this to somebody who is probably like who wants to be that. I want to focus on the HR side. And so within my career, I did a lot of job hopping. And that is because I found that oftentimes when I took on a new role, I was like, okay, 3 months into it, now I'm bored. What else do they have for me to do? And I would ask for a lot more work or new responsibilities. And they would happily give those to me without the pay or the title included. And so I found that like, if I was doing the work, I should be getting compensated for that. And also I should have the title. So that would lead me to leaving a company and getting that title I wanted and the pay that I wanted. And then I would again get really bored. So it was just like this endless cycle until I figured out that I needed to like, you know, maybe start taking on new like roles that were bigger than my expertise, because then it allowed me to learn. And so I think with that, you know, I had a lot of, my path wasn't linear in that sense. Like I jumped around, I went to different tech companies and I tried a lot of different things. And I think that we are seeing that as well in this like newer workforce within like, you know, millennials and Gen Zers. And we're seeing a lot of job hopping, and that's definitely a conversation I have with my clients quite often. And I think that's because like people want opportunities to grow, and it's not always a linear path, right? Some people are really great at managing others. Some people are great at being independent contributors. So as my clients are building out their career paths, which I think they should be doing, any company should be doing early on to allow to like be able to talk about that as candidates are coming in, like having that opportunity presented is what candidates want to see. But there's like these levels, right, that aren't always like, hey, now you have moved up to like a senior, like now you're a manager level. Like some people don't want to be a manager ever. And then you have to have another career opportunity where they can be senior independent contributors and whatever that looks like in each organization.
I don't know if you have been in my diary or you're reading my mind, because I think, yes, I feel that as part of my career, you know, and I've always advocated for this as part of, like, if you look at my resume, I do not stay at a place longer than 2 years, 2 years and a half. And it's not because I'm just like, I want to popcorn around, but it's exactly what you're saying, is that you get to these places where like the infrastructure, like it isn't a thought out work chart, you know, like an org chart, or like even if a position doesn't exist, there isn't a plan to like create one, because we now need that career path to be in place. And so you often get to a place where you've mastered where you're at and you're like, well, I don't want to be somebody's manager, but I really am amazing at what I'm doing and I'm not going to get the pay. So let me go find that senior role. Let me go find that like consultant or subject matter expert role. And I think often you'll find that once that person leaves a company, that company is now one without the historical knowledge that they had, but then will at some point also need that senior role, will also reach out for consulting services for that role. And so the fact that you're helping, you know, these startups and HR, like that mindset as part of the infrastructure of your company, I think is one of those valuable, like really valuable gems. You know, anyone listening who is in an HR department or in leadership, like, that is what employees are asking for, is I want to see my, you want me to be here 5 to 10 years. I'm not going to be in this one spot stagnant. What is my career path going to look like?
That's exactly right. And it's like the investment that any employer puts into hiring someone and then developing them over the course of their time at the company, of their life cycle. It's like, you want to keep them after you've invested so much into their experience and they've gained skill, like a new skill set. Like really, you know, there's like a lot of, and that's where the human capital part comes in. It's like that's the value like that they bring into your workforce. That's the human capital aspect of it. It's like, what value are they bringing in and what value have you brought back to them? And so I think it's like, you know, having those new opportunities, different roles that are available to them is so important to keep them, because employers are really investing a lot of, even, you know, you don't really think about it, like the cost of an employee until you're like losing them basically, or like they're leaving the company. You're like, oh wow, they've been with us for 5 years. We've invested this much, you know, time and monetary, like in terms of like benefits, or if they did any kind of professional development. There's that piece of it too, of like thinking of the long-term investment of a human.
Yeah. I think my current organization does a really good job As far as something you mentioned earlier about like you had, you know, multiple roles and then you felt like you were in a spot where you were bored. I'm similar, but a little bit different. So I've been able to be a contributor on two different teams within my current organization. And while I consider that to be a benefit, I've been able to kind of see, you know, a different team structure. I've been able to, you know, obviously grow my skill set, my understanding, my knowledge of tech. You know, I realize that while the company is the right fit, it might just be the team or the capacity of what I'm doing is maybe not the right fit. So I don't know if it's boredom so much as I'm trying to find my niche in that organization that I want to invest my professional career within. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, there are times when it's like, you're like, this company resonates with me. I feel alignment with it, but what I'm doing at this moment doesn't align with where I want to be. And I do think there's always that, like I felt this before, I can be impatient. So I felt it before where you're like, there's that time when you're like, I want to make this transition and change, but I don't want to leave the company. I need to know what my options are, you know? And I think that's where employers, I have conversations again with my clients about this. It's like, you have to have that open communication of like, and this would be like sort of, you know, during performance check-ins, weekly syncs, even it's like having the ongoing performance conversation of like, here's where you're at, here's where you could be, here's how you get there, so that there's a clear path of like, what's next. And I think that helps when you're kind of like, I'm not sure about the role, but I want to stay with the company, and having those like conversations.
You know, I think initially my mindset was retention is a huge issue right now, like keeping employees, right? And I think that, like you said, like the remote work, it goes deeper than I'll get you guys a pizza party and send you an appreciation email because you're doing a good job, but change no infrastructure whatsoever in the company itself. And I think it that is really what the core of, you know, working with someone like you would be, is getting to those, you know, key core issues and shifting them. Is there any, I know you mentioned, you know, having that pathway, career pathway, and, you know, having the flexibility. Is there anything else that you think would be imperative for companies to have if they do not have it already in place, or new companies coming about?
Yeah, I think, you know, benefits are always a touchy subject because it's like, how much can the company, especially newer companies, how much can they afford to invest in benefits? But if you can get some really good core benefits in place, I do think that allows, you know, employers to be competitive. And it's not always like, hey, we can get you breakfast or something, but it is like offering maybe a flexible time off policy, or offering sick days outside of, in some states you are required to offer sick days, but like in those states that aren't, maybe then it's like, we'll offer this in addition to, or like 401ks, like those are big. People are thinking of their retirements already. So like, how can an employer offer a retirement plan, or even just like health benefits? I mean, having even a simple plan in place will set a lot of startups ahead of their competitors, because people don't necessarily want to invest in those things right off the bat, but it attracts more top talent. And lastly, I think another big benefit is like, I'm seeing a big trend in professional development opportunities. And so whatever that looks like, it could look like giving, you know, someone some sort of stipend to go to a conference, or some sort of stipend to continue their education. But I am seeing an increase in a want and desire for that.
Yeah, I a lot of what you've said is, you know, resonated. And I see that in my current organization. We have, even down to, you know, like coming out of the pandemics, animals and pets have brought so much joy to people's lives, you know, that comes at an expense, right? Keeping them healthy and well. I mean, my organization offers a pet insurance policy that has proven time and time again to be so financially beneficial to my two girls who are like getting older now. And so, you know, as simple as that may seem, I've said to my HR department, like, thank you so much for having this pet insurance. It means a lot to me because, you know, my four-legged family means a lot. And similar fashion to, you know, our tuition reimbursement, you know, they're, you know, I'm investing, you know, my nights, you know, early mornings, late nights, weekends into, you know, finishing my degree. But, you know, my employer's kind of championing alongside with, you know, a hearty tuition reimbursement. So I think things like that matter. You know, and even if it's a small contribution, it's a contribution nonetheless.
Right. And to your point, these are ways of showing as an employer that you care and that you're offering your people support. So even the pet insurance, although it sounds small, I know a lot of us feel the same way, where our pets are like our children. And so being able to have our like fur children on an insurance plan is incredible. And it shows that the employer is like going a few steps above to show their support. And to like kind of bring it back full circle of like work from home, I find that a lot of people, their reason for wanting to work from home is like, I want to be able to spend time with my dog, or like have my dog sleeping at my feet, or being able to take them for a walk in the middle of the day to like decompress. So like bringing that full circle, it is important for an employer to be able to kind of see that and know that like just how impactful and influential it can be in a decision-making process of accepting a new job or staying at someone's current job.
Health benefits are big for many, many reasons, but I will make a note that when I used to work at a fertility clinic, and I used to work in the finance department. And one of the biggest things that we would recommend for people is to switch jobs if their insurance didn't cover their treatment. And it was just one of those things where people would do it. People would leave jobs that they had been in for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. If they didn't cover, you know, what they needed, like they prioritized their family, like family planning, and they would call back in a month and say, I work at so-and-so now, you know, and it was one of those things where it's like, you really saw it in real life, how important, you know, that small benefit that I'm sure I don't work in HR, but I'm sure when these decisions get made, you know, and you see that one and you're like, this is not going to be a big deal, move over. And so it's like thinking, but changing the mindset from like dollars on a piece of paper to like the human component of this, of like people want to prioritize being close, you know, to their dogs. People want to prioritize expanding their family. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. Cause that definitely, I saw that happen time and time and time again.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent point of like, I've had a few startups come to me where they are considering the family planning benefits. And that sets them so far ahead of others. And even, I've written probably about four, parental leave policies already this year, and it's what, beginning of March. So people are, you know, and when I'm thinking of these parental leave policies, like that is a big benefit that I actually don't see offered that often. Like obviously there are state regulations and certain states that are required to be offered, but outside of that, I'm seeing a lot more startups offering this parental leave paid time off. And it's really fascinating to me because it does, again, it goes back to the support and the human element of like supporting your people. Because without this like support of its people, like what is a company at the end of the day without its amazing workforce? So yeah, the parental leave has been a big one, and it excites me. It gets me excited for It's like a lot of these startups are kind of being more forward thinking and encompassing, you know, mothers, fathers, birthing parents, non-birthing parents. So I think things are really changing, and that landscape will be quite interesting to see how others kind of navigate it as well.
Britta, I want to just say that I think in like our short time together, I can see how passionate you are for people. I feel like I see a lot of myself in you. Like, I'm a people person for sure. We had a HR professional on a couple months ago, and she's in the healthcare insurance industry. And I think her quote was, she's a people connector and a solution seeker. And I may have gotten that wrong, Vida. Hopefully I didn't, but I see a lot of you in her and me in you. And I can just see that you're very passionate for people. And so I just want to just point that out. Well, I mean, kind of wrapping up, if you could give our listeners, whether it's an individual who's in the workplace, you know, working with their HR company, or perhaps it's a startup business who may not have a lot of capital and just doesn't know exactly where to start, is there any, you know, key takeaway items that you would like to toss out to anyone who might be listening?
Yes, I think it all begins with conversation. So even if, you know, there's a really small business who wants to begin considering these things, and they may not have the budget for it, it all begins with like this brainstorming conversations. Because I think people would really be surprised, like from the employer's perspective, of how simple things can go a long way with employees. And I think for employees, you know, it also kind of stems from conversation. If benefits or certain things are not being offered at their job that they would like to see, having that conversation with their manager, or if they're comfortable, you know, with having that conversation with their leadership team, really just starting planting seeds is how I kind of see things, and then seeing how those grow, and they will grow in time. I would give that advice of like having these conversations around really like what you want, whether that's in your role, whether that's in the company, I think is like the place to begin. And then also just always like, you know, from an employee's perspective, always like thinking of what's best for you at long term and even in the short term. And I think that kind of goes to Cindy's point of like, you know, encouraging people to leave their role if like a benefit that they need that would actually be financially more supportive to them if they left their role or whatever. I think that, you know, really thinking of like what your needs are and then kind of acting on that, and always thinking of like you're human at the end of the day. So what is good for me? And how can I be my best self at work? And outside of work, and like, how does that all connect? So that's, I think, what I would leave people with.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then for anyone listening, Britta, that wants to work with you or get in contact with you, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, some of the services you offer, and tell us about Prosper HR?
So some of the services that I offer are, I offer career coaching. So I'm happy to talk through that if anyone's going through any kind of transitions. I love to work with clients who are thinking of transitioning from the corporate world into more of a startup capacity, or even starting their own company. That's kind of my sweet spot with my career coaching. From the HR side, again, I work with startups and tech companies, mostly small business owners. And I serve a lot of my clients in a fractional capacity. So with that, that means more of a part-time, high-level strategy advising sort of services. And I help my clients to really understand what their HR currently looks like and what we can put in place to make it even better. And then also I take on clients who need help with HR projects, and those consulting projects are typically around employee experience. So that could be anything from onboarding to creating an alumni program to stay connected with former employees, performance management toolkits, it's across the board, but anything that would be related to an employee's engagement and employee's experience. Also, other ways that I can help potential clients is if someone has a smaller budget, this works well for small business owners, really early stage startups. I've created HR bundles that are downloadables, can be purchased. They'll be available soon on my website. And those HR bundles are basically toolkits. So there's a playbook and then all the supporting materials that would be necessary for to help navigate certain situations when there's not a full HR team. So an example of this would be there's an onboarding. So how do you onboard your first employee or your third employee? I have an onboarding package bundle to purchase. Another one would be like disciplinary action. So if someone's not performing well, or they've had attendance issues or whatever the case may be, where they may need some disciplinary action or a performance improvement plan in place, there is a bundle for that. So these bundles are just to help navigate the HR side of things without having to, pay for any consulting or advising fees. And then if there are follow-up questions, there is a free consultation call included with those bundles as well with me.
What we'll do is we'll put your information in the show notes. And, you know, if anybody is interested, they can reach out to you. And, you know, if you're working for a company where, employees are just leaving, it might be time to do a little evaluation and reach out to Britta and see maybe where you could improve. But other than that, I mean, thank you so much for this conversation. It felt just like the appropriate time yes. for me. I don't know about you, Melissa, but it was a great conversation. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much to both of you. This is really great. And I appreciate your time. I had so much fun talking with you.
Sure. Well, everyone listening, until next time, keep interrupting.